All right, Gav, we need you to measure the girth of your dick and we can settle this.
Beep, 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 beer. Beep, 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 beer. Beep, 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 beer. Beep, 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 beep. It's the final countdown.
From our dusty cellars, ingesting office supplies as part of your staple diet, it's the final countdown.
Yep.
Good. Good. Solid. Solid. Yep.
Now, I'm pointy.
Yeah, I'm Manus Cronin, and thankfully there are not enough of you for it to become obvious that I didn't write the whole first verse of this new Weird Al parody song I'm working on that Dave Guilfoyle didn't like at all, but here we go. Joining us this week, as always, blame it all on the booze. I puked on your shoes and ruined our child's first communion. Jack Toner.
Hello, Garth Manus.
Okay, and we just have to go straight to the chorus, but you can see where this is going. Because I've been banned from leisure plexus, and I threw a ball, and I completely wrecked the bowling lane. And I took cocaine. It's Gavin Gregory.
Hello, that's good. Manus, it's got potential. That's all I'll tell you.
Let me tell you, you're onto a killer chorus there. I've been back from leisure plexus.
It got such a slating from Dave and his mates in Dundalk that I was like, this can't work. They hate this. And then I remember that they're a bunch of inbred yokels. and what the fuck would they know about comedy? So, every bit of our beshitted comedy career, I plowed on despite the negative feedback, and here we are.
Well, it's good to hear. It's good to hear some stories from Dave again.
Oh yeah, it was good to see him again. But every time I see him, it's like it is a good thing that we don't live that close to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Now the problem is the car makes it pretty close. Like I can get there in an hour now.
Yeah.
And then you have the car.
And also, if you're seeing Dave, you're drinking. And if you have the car, it means you can't drive back. So you're stuck there for a while. You're stuck there until the booze wears off.
Weeks.
Weeks.
But he rang me the morning after because I had to bring the car back because my dad needed it. And he's like, hey, when you're getting the train back? So I'm like, that's a great idea, Dave, but I'm not doing it. Well, they say well a lot up there, and hi. Well, we're doing a bit of walk there, hi. You know, that's how
they talk. Hi at the end of the sentence.
At the end of the sentence,
I didn't know that was an accent quirk that Dundalk had. I thought there was a bit more north that they said
Maybe it is. There's a stark rural-urban divide even up there. Like, if you're from the town, it's one thing. And then if you're from, the town, it's another thing entirely.
If you're from the town, you might as well be from Dublin to the people who aren't from the town.
On the agenda this week, we have Gavin's YouTube sensation, Mustard Gas and Roses. He sent us on a thing with a guy. We watched some of it. Some people fell down a rabbit hole. You might think that's a separate point, but it isn't. There's a two-part piece from Gavin. I love it when Gav the journalist shows up and does two-part puff pieces sometimes when he's working for the man, you know. Jack, was there something you had? I have a bit of a give out about something. I always have something.
Well, I have nothing to moan about necessarily, so I'm really out of place on this particular episode.
Need to up your sex game. That's what you need to do. Right?
No, I get plenty to moan about.
That's I hate to use your own words against you, but before we do any of that, we have to look at these beers. I filled out my application form in full today.
But we tried our best.
Other two children didn't, so we're going to cast them as our new Fallout Boy, despite the fact that they're an inch too short.
Democracy wins this one, in summary.
Every single time this happens, I think, if only there was a system that we thought of and tried for 8 weeks that worked perfectly that we could do to avoid this.
If only. Possible.
If only there was a provable system that worked.
Ocean madness, I'm afraid. We were supposed to get Mescan, a little west of Ireland brewery making Belgian style beer. I picked up five different ones just so the lads could get them. Apparently, in the off license you both go to, it was just sold out, but yet didn't sell well enough that they're ever getting it again.
Well, I talked to the guy and he was like, yeah, it didn't sell super fast. So the whole range didn't, like one or two of them did. So they might get them back in, but like it's craft beer, so who knows? So it was a whole thing.
What did you say? But that's not what we have. What do you guys have? You have something else.
We have
recommended you as being similar.
We have Keeney Irish Blonde. So farmhouse beer brewed in Ireland. This is a brewery I haven't seen before. Judging from just the bottle, it looks great. Kind of brown bottle, tall, and then a very simple yellow label. The font is excellent. This is just like designed by subtraction, you know? It looks great because of how little is on it.
What size is the bottle? It's 500 mil, I presume.
It's a 500 mil.
It is a great looking bottle. It evokes, the closest thing I can think of that looks like it is the Guinness pint bottle or Bulmer's pint bottle if you're 12.
Yeah.
But it's slightly skinnier than that because there's 68 less milliliters in it.
And it is an actual brewery. It's not like...
That's the most surprise.
You get a lot of fucking brands that are just like, they're all made by Dave in the end, you know?
It's not a contractor.
It seems like it's like, unless they're just straight up lying on the label, they make and bottle it themselves, which I think is refreshing. Speaking of refreshing, it's really good.
So blonde beer is normally the one that has that kind of banana-y estuary thing. Am I right, or is that a wheat beer?
Weiss beer tends to... My only remembering of any blonde we had before was that it tends to have whatever gives the horse blanket flavour, which might have been Brettanomyces, but I might be just pulling it out of my arse. We did commission a nut signal. It did work last week, so, you know, let's just... Nut Signal brought us some results. Miller do use a hop extract that is designed to be anti-skunking. It's the same thing Corona use, so they can still use see-through bottles. So there you go.
Wow.
Very good.
The problem there was...
Nut Signal was such a good investment.
I mean, when they were putting it on the roof, I didn't feel it was worth losing the morning's sleep. But now that it's up there, I am glad to climb that rickety ladder of a Monday. Yeah.
Look, guys, let's see what the electricity bill looks like before we count our chickens, you know?
Fair, that is a good point.
We may have to stop using it for other stuff. Like, hey, John, how many stars do you think there are?
Well, that's not my area of expertise, but...
That was the second best beer nut impression that's ever been on the show, Gavin. Well done.
I can't believe that I beat you, Manus, because surely the best nut impression is the man himself.
You did. You absolutely destroyed me because it was obvious that it was an impression.
This beer, this blonde beer, it doesn't taste like a lot. Now, mine is extremely cold. I don't know what they're doing to the fridges in Molloy's, but it is cold as tits.
They're hoping to see some nips for some... confuse you in front of the fridge, keep you there for a while, get your pokies out, and then they get to see those. They get to see them.
That's worth more than all the craft beer in the world.
I'm fairly sure we're not on the gold standard anymore. I don't know what's backing our currency. I'm fairly sure it's nips.
It's glimpses of
the nips. The nip standard.
But that's why I'm on Nipcoin. That's where I'm putting all my money these days.
That's good. That crypto nip.
I've finally gone from cryptic nips to crypto nips, and it's been a real life changer.
I would say. The beer... doesn't taste like much, but it's refreshing. It's light. It's nice. Don't know what there is to say about it, really. It's kind of... just a little bit is the only kind of flavour note I can kind of get. It's not fruity. It's a bit more kind of yeah, herbaceous and earthy. And it's really light on the palate, disappears almost instantly. Jack, I don't know what you think.
I'm finding it difficult to come up with something to compare it to. The only other, like, Irish blonde, quote unquote, that I can think of is the one from Irish Town, which I didn't love. But this I actually am liking. Now, I'll see how I feel at the end of the pint, but I'm already like a third of the way through it, and I'm enjoying it for exactly the reasons you said. Taste disappears. It's all very crisp and refreshing when it's there. I'm about it.
What's your ABV on that one, gentlemen?
Oh, we is rocking the 4.3.
Okay, so it's quite, I would have considered that to be quite low for the style. Although, again, that could just be wrong. Mine is like at a 5.5. And the closest thing I can think of that it reminds me of is like Duvel. Well, the dialed back Duvel.
I think Domescan kind of model themselves on Duvel a little bit because their bottles are a little bit Duvel-y.
Either Duvel or one of the or maybe Chimay would be the closest. I've seen these knocking about a bunch. Well, there's a lot of bottles that come in this shape. Golden Drac comes in this kind of type of bottle as well. A lot of the Belgian-ish-y ones. I often just pass this by assuming it was just a Belgian beer and there were other Belgian beers and I'd take them, but it was, I don't know where, I caught the Westport blonde. I was like, that's odd. I wonder if that had anything to do with Westport. And then, of course, you find that they do seem to be from
there.
Mayo, anyway.
Yeah.
Located on the slopes of Crow Patrick, would you believe? Yeah.
That's why the text on the bottle is all sideways.
So you'd compare it to Duvel. Anything else notable about that beer on first tastings?
No, it's really nice. I actually like think in a way that I would rarely crack into a Duvel in this way. You're not committing to too much by knocking into this beer. You know, it's good. It's got a nice warming feeling. It's doing what it's supposed to do. It's killing off the last of yesterday's hangover. You know? It's got a good bit of head on it, you know, and I like a good bit of head. You know, probably I'd say. Turning into Fred Elliott so gradually.
I barely even noticed. The thing I'll say about this Heaney Blonde is, though it doesn't taste like much on first tastings, there's a bit, hint, and it's tiny, a little bit of an acrid aftertaste, and it's a real aftertaste. It comes like 10 seconds later and it's just out of nowhere, but like it's not very pleasant.
That horse blanketiness that you were talking about,
mate, it could be. That's why I'm about to ask and admit a bit of ignorance. I've been using the word acrid for most of my adult life. I don't know what it means.
No idea.
I think it's kind of in between like bitter and rotten.
Ah, okay.
Like it's bad bitter, I think.
So I could see why I've been getting away with it then, because that would tend to work. But I never, you know, those words were just like, sort of kind of get what that's
like. Oh, that's a pretty verbose thing to do. Does that work?
Loquacious.
That's loquacious.
Yeah, I think it's important that we never look these up and keep using them. I think this is important per se. I think this is important per se.
Look, they're all perfectly prominent words.
Per se is the best one always, because the person using it is always an arsehole. They're always trying to seem smart, and they almost always use it wrong. That's why I always per se so much. I wouldn't say that per se, you know? It wouldn't really be, wouldn't be to my liking per se. But each to their own, you know.
I like to use it when ordering. As in, like, I'll have the prawn cocktail, per se.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have my steak, per se.
Prawn cocktail's a funny one. So you've either got an establishment that's way behind the times or is on the cutting edge. Because prawn cocktail is back, but it's only just about back, you know?
Wait, prawn cocktail's back?
In what way?
I'll be honest, Hoth Road, in my family home, it never left. Prawn cocktail is the shit. And do you know what? We're right at everyone.
Yeah, no, you're correct.
I got a share bag of skips a couple of weeks ago, and I had this many regrets. That's zero.
If a prawn, like as the go-to fancy appetizer to becoming sort of passé, it's bound. If it's not back, it's coming back. That's like on the someone's gonna fucking Heston Blumenthal or somebody's gonna fucking do or say that it's good again, and it's gonna be back in pog form, like fingering birds on the dance floor. It never left.
Look, here at Stephen's Gate, we're a snack right house. You know, we'll get the 36 bag of snack right crisps from Lidl. You know, keep us going for a couple of days. And
snack right are the growth of crisps.
They're the worst ones. But let me tell you what they have in there. A variety of flavors, including prawn cocktail, and they're hotly demanded. They're one of the first flavors to go. It's the only PC thing we love in this whole apartment.
It's twice you've done this, and I'm going to have to see. Are you aware you've had a prawn cocktail, right? You're not just aware of it by the crisp flavor.
I don't understand.
Okay, there you go. I thought that was happening. I just wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt there for a second.
I don't understand what you mean.
I'm so glad you called him up on this. Yeah. Yeah, Jack, if you were to describe a prawn cocktail, what would it be?
Oh, well, I mean, are you talking about Pringles? Are you talking about Skips? Are you talking about Walkers? My prawn cocktail, are you talking about?
I think I want to leave him thinking this. I don't want
to... If I was to compare it to any...
But there's nothing fishy about prawn cocktail flavor crisps.
No.
They just taste like the sauce.
Yeah. But...
They just taste like Mary Rose sauce.
Sauce on
what, Gavin? So, as in the sauce on a prawn cocktail. Do you know what? Never mind.
But prawn cocktail is a crisp, Gavin. I don't know what you're trying to get
at. You're never invited to a dinner in my house in the mid-90s, that's for sure.
Let me tell you, if we came to Christmas at the Carberry's, we would freak your fucking nuts with what we do to prawns.
The thing is, the prawn cocktail is delicious. So, the idea that it ever became like a trend to the point that it could go out of fashion was just a mistake, you know?
I don't think it ever did.
Yeah, well,
we haven't had a Christmas in 15 years without it. It does
make sense that it would be eaten so much that people would kind of get sick of it or get bored of it. Because when I first discovered prawn cocktail, it is all I wanted to eat. And you know what? That's kind of still the case. And I just got to eat other stuff so that I can really enjoy the prawn cocktail.
It's a good thing that our government puts checks and balances in place to prevent that from being the only food that you eat. The separation of powers does not just refer to the Supreme Court and the executive branch. It also involves prawn cocktail, if you read the
and
legislation.
And the rest of the gross food.
Crew beans are in there, you know, it's all good. I can't remember where we were before we started.
We were still introducing the beer.
We're still introducing, I think we've done the beer. Agenda item is AG, NB, all gas, no brakes.
Gavin, what got you on to no gas, no brakes?
My friend Carlos Sullivan said, man, you got to get into all gas, no brakes. It's so good. It's kind of like Louis Theroux, but without a purpose. As in, like, its only goal is to be funny. And the guy is brilliant. He just kind of sits there with a microphone and lets people go. The editing is great. Essentially, it's just a regular guy who, at one point in his life, wanted to be a serious journalist, but wasn't getting anywhere. So now, just goes to, like, Burning Man, the Conscious Life Festival, a furry expo, the AVN Expo, which is like the porn
Oscars
convention. Yeah. And just interviews.
Great guys, Colby and Kern was able to make this YouTube channel.
That's the kind of libel we need on this podcast. Get some heat.
I would love to get called out negatively in print media. I think that would really be... next step for us.
Yeah, worked fantastically for all those other British wrestlers. But the other thing that we need to talk about. Yes, I called him British. We get lumped in to the British wrestling scene in Ireland, and it's just something I've had to accept.
Gav, you're completely right to call out All Gas No Breaks. I think it's unbelievably great. It might be the best journalism in the last 6 months.
Are they all the same?
Sorry, go on.
Are they all the same? Because I've only seen the one that loads automatically on YouTube. You know, the one that they're in.
Oh, the Talladega Superboy.
And I've seen one of the Florida Men ones. I think the second one. And about five minutes of the Portland riots. Are they just all that? Is it just he goes out, microphone, lets people do their thing?
Yeah, that's basically it. Now, I think the Portland riots and the Minneapolis riot, they're Minneapolis protest, are a bit different. As in, like, they're not... He does go out there looking for, like, truth, in a way. You know, he does go out to see, like, why people are out in the street. Some of the bits are funny, some of the bits are serious.
Yeah, they're inherently less, like, off-the-wall mental as the people who talk to at a furry expo.
Yeah. And, like, with the furry expo, I felt that the furry expo was quite kind. I find this very entertaining. I watched all of them. I think that they're, like, genuinely brilliant. And, like, it is so funny to watch some of these people just be off their tits and just crazy just chatting to this guy. I do feel like certain bits of it aren't morally right. Like,
yeah, I know where you're going.
You know, like, speaking to people who are, like, off their head on drugs and, like, not blurring their faces is a bit fucked up, I think. I don't think he's ethically in the right place in a lot of, in some of the cases. Some of the cases, I think he's fine. And I know, like, I watched an interview with him later. He gets release forms most of the time. But I think, like, you kind of need to be in sound mind and body to sign a release form.
Yeah. I think that the really entertaining ones are the ones who are not fucked up.
Yes, that's it exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Because here's the thing that I learned about America.
The best one was the rocket launch, where it's just people who went to a SpaceX launch and, like, are celebrating, like, America, we launch rockets. It's just, like, fucking brilliant. And then the ones like Talladega Speedway, people are drunk, but I don't think they're that, like, completely messed up.
It didn't reveal anything to me about Talladega Speedway that I didn't assume happened.
Yes.
It didn't make me want to go less, but it kind of made me want to go at all.
That one gentleman trying to figure out if he preferred Donald Trump or Dale Earnhardt Jr. and being unable to pick.
Yeah.
Oh, just chef's kiss. I think you learn so much about the nature of America, and the number one thing is that everybody got bars. You don't have to travel very far to find someone who's willing to rap in front of a camera.
And talent is not a barrier to you rapping on camera.
No. Everyone's willing
to... But enough about Fred Durst.
I just kind of wanted to talk about All Gas No Breaks because I've recently discovered it. It's a bit of a sensation, and I think more people should check it out. Jack, you're obviously a huge fan. Manus, what's your feeling on it?
I have to admit, clearly because I only watched a bit, it should be obvious that I didn't get it to the same degree
right.
you guys did. Like, I enjoyed the Florida Man shitting on, sort of, but, like, I've heard junkies shit on before, do you know
Florida
what I mean?
Man's kind of like a special edition.
Yeah.
The Talladega one, or the NASCAR one, or whatever you call it, I got some last, it just went on for it. Are there better ones I should be watching? Again, the Portland one, it's like, he found some crazy people and he found some reasonable people, and it's like, yeah, you're gonna find both of those at a protest/riot. Like, the idea that there's crazy people at it, of course there are.
I think of course the
crazy people are gonna go there.
You're gonna want to hit up the Adult Video Awards. You're gonna want to hit up
The Adult Video Awards one is brilliant.
Yeah, for example, there is a father-son duo who has made the big weekend trip to the porn convention, and they can't wait to go and meet all of their favorite porn stars.
I was always interested by the porn community, like the people who are into it. They're into it, like they know stuff about the
they're
people
like industry
in it.
Fans, like
they're like, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of like wrestling fans, except less pathetic.
Yeah,
they might fuck at some point.
Oh, the accuracy hurts so much. It's like getting shot with an arrow. If it wasn't accurate, it wouldn't hurt. I've known maybe one or two people in real life like this who were like into it. Like, it's like, oh, well, that one was no good, but this one is good. And it's like, how far do you get into these things? Like, how much do you really want to be a connoisseur of porn?
Yeah, remember when some titties on paper were more than enough?
Remember when you could just Google one of your colleagues skinny dipping and just poor Ming Flanagan.
I don't know either.
Like, I can't judge him for doing something that I, as soon as I found out he did it, immediately did. So
yeah, if it was like Saoirse McHugh leaked nudes, I'd be like, okay, dude.
Yeah, that's much worse, and probably I wouldn't look at it. But it's just a photo from a Guardian article, and you couldn't tell whose arse it is. It's a
bit lecherous and not at all surprising.
Yeah.
That's a great summary of the Ming Flanagan.
The worst thing he could possibly have done, and for those of you not aware, just Google Luke Ming Flanagan, you're going to find out what happened. The worst thing he did is he, with lecherous intent, Googled a photo of someone he knows and had a tug.
And you know what? Luke Ming Flanagan is the kind of person...
He claims...
I just want, like, for any other libel reasons, like, the tug, it was never confirmed, but I'm saying that's the worst.
That's the worst thing he could have done. That's the worst.
It is the worst thing he could have done.
Like,
yeah.
Best case scenario, he legitimately was hacked, like he's claiming.
No, sorry.
Probably
Pause.
Closer.
He did. That is not the worst thing he could have done. Taking that photo, contacted the original photographer, and got the original high-res footage, printed it out on its own pillow, and fall asleep behind it every night.
Worst thing he could have done based on any potential evidence we could have.
I think there's more physical evidence of the thing I said.
Like, is it worse that he Googled that or that he might have kept the original Guardian and it'd still be in his room in a frame, right? I mean, yeah. Maybe he did that, but like, and he probably wasn't hacked. He probably did attempt to Google it and then tweet it by accident because he was high. But like, if your mate had their photo in the Guardian and someone told you about it, like... I don't know. I'd be fucking Googling that straight away.
And everyone got a good look at her fella's unbelievable arse when we.
That's a good. That is. He's a well.
That is
Western
proper West Coast Irish beef hoop.
That is.
I don't
want
to objectify anybody, but woof.
To the point that when I looked at it, I was like, "Wow, she has an incredible, if a touch masculine buttocks." And then I was like, "Oh, that's her." Crop her out. That's probably what he was doing. He was probably finding that photo to crop her out of it.
The political WhatsApp groups have been blowing up all day about this unbelievable other arse in the photo. And he's like, I gotta see this warlock. I gotta see what's going on.
I don't know. She may feel very uncomfortable about it. But the fact is, I can't give out to him because the second I heard he Googled it, I Googled it. I wasn't even thinking. I was like, oh, that can't be real. And then, because he probably thought that can't be real when someone said it to him, you know, Googled it, except tweeted it. Okay, he's a moron for being probably awake a little bit late in the evening and being on Twitter. That, you should know not to do that as a politician. I almost know not to do that as a private citizen. Just don't go. It's 2 a.m. What good can happen to you on Twitter at 2 a.m.? Nothing.
Does Twitter have a feature to double check? To be like, are you sure you want to post this?
No, but your brain does. you use your eyes to look at this other thing that we invented called a clock. And it's actually on the phone as well.
You just have to move it like an inch and a half up and to the right.
Yeah, exactly. But don't talk to him about moving things an inch and a half up and to the right when he's in that position, because you don't know what he'll accidentally take a picture of.
We know what he's looking for. Who knows what's happening outside his phone?
Poor Luke. Well, I don't care if he's horrible and he gets like done for this. I don't particularly care for Luke Flanagan, so I don't have a fucking fish in this river, you know what I mean? That's going to be the new thing as well. Instead of skin in the game, I don't have a fish in this river, you know? That I'm hoping to catch, I guess, is where that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I can see... Like, I don't have a horse in this race already exists.
Yeah, a lot of people...
And, like, is it much better, more accurate?
Yeah, that's what they're expecting.
I don't have a fish in this river. I mean, I'm not planning on catching anything. Yeah, I mean, it's
the same. I don't have a bird in the sky. No, it's not the same.
I don't have a chocolate in this particular box of roses. Do you know what I mean? You know,
the real one that doesn't make any sense is skin in the game. What game requires you to contribute skin as an entry?
Oh yeah, it's funny that you should ask, but we actually aren't allowed to tell you if you don't already know.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
I did think that.
And
I was
the fact that you
something.
Even asked, you'll be getting a present.
Yeah,
and not a good present.
No, that's pure frigid talk, Jack. That's what that is.
Yeah, I'm after displaying my V card for the world to see.
You've just outed yourself as still being in possession of your F card.
I got an F in school.
Do you think
massive frigid?
Do you think there's anyone who is alive now who's a frigid but not a virgin?
Yeah,
there has to be.
100%, 100%. Because you can pay for sex without kissing.
Yeah, there it is. Bing, bang, boom. Boom.
Yeah, straight up.
Problem solved, yeah.
Also, any case of someone who's missing a mouth.
Yeah,
still fucks.
That is also true, yeah. Or someone who, like, yeah, has something where it's incredibly sore to kiss them.
I would have to
like
argue,
my mother,
though.
Apparently.
I'd have to argue, though, that, like, if you... I think you don't get classified, you know, it's like getting your...
Is being not a frigid like getting your provisional?
Yeah, like if you were to somehow, I would consider it like instead of not getting your second, you get your provisional, you don't get your second provisional, but you just pass your test the first time. You don't, no one's like, oh, this guy can't drive. It's like, no, okay, it's a bad analogy. And it's something people have said about me. People kind of like, this guy can't drive. And it sure hurt. Let's get out of this shit show of a segment. I want to give out about something.
Go on.
It's a frequent thing that I always give out about, but I just want to make an analogy, right? So I worked in McDonald's for a month when I was 20. And I still have a set of keys to the local McDonald's up the road from me. So I can get in there. I know the alarm code, they have not changed it. It's been 13 years. I can still get in there if I want. And the other night I was out, I was drunk and I was hungry for a Big Mac. It was 3 a.m. and they were closed. So I went to the door, I used my key, I opened it. I fucking was like, fuck it, I'm in now, in for a penny, in for a pound. Tried the alarm code, the same, no problem. Went into the kitchen, like there's like stuff knocking around. I started like making up. I couldn't quite make up a Big Mac, the slightly thicker ones for the quarter pounders, and they only had the hamburger bun. But I got some stuff together and I made a Big Mac.
What? Stop admitting to crimes.
And the police, well, here's the thing, the policeman who came in, because apparently there's some other thing, a way of them figuring out that you're in there. Obviously, the cameras trigger something without making an alarm sound. So the policeman comes in, and he's very polite considering the situation. He said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm sorry, but I really wanted a Big Mac. I said, but they're closed, and you don't work here. I said, I know, but how else was I supposed to get a Big Mac? And that is what you were doing when you drive somewhere and you say, well, where else was I supposed to park? As you park on double yellow lines. The story's not true, by the way.
I know.
Yeah, as soon as
but
you start
I
talking
only
about
realized
car
that
stuff.
Like two sentences ago, man. That was the most bad shit thing I ever heard.
That's the single greatest and worst analogy I have ever heard.
The analogy was too crazy for me to pay attention to what you were trying to analogize about. What are you talking about?
Can you please give me the last three sentences again?
So like, hey, you're parked on like the footpath or double yellow lines or a cycle lane or anywhere where you're not supposed to be parked. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But where else was I supposed to park? Hey, you know you're in McDonald's making a Big Mac at 3 a.m. and you don't work here. Yeah, yeah, but I wanted one. And where else was I supposed to get one?
It's a me first. It's a bubbly first.
Me first. It's me first. But one is obviously that man is crazy. And the other one, people will genuinely say, but I needed to go to the shop. There weren't any other spaces. So of course I parked on that lady's face.
I saw the single worst park job I've ever seen in my entire
life. Are we just getting over the fact that managers told that fucking crazy story?
Yeah, like...
Are we moving past that? I'm fine if we are. I just want to make sure that that's a conscious decision.
I just thought it would be a good narrative device. I thought you might enjoy it.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. It's blown my mind.
I was too distracted by how batshit insane it was, Mattis, to enjoy it or get the analogy. I'm glad you've explained it now,
It would be an excellent ad for not doing the thing that you don't want people to do. It'd be an excellent
I was thinking of it on my walk today. I went on a walk and I thought the guys will like this. This would be a good one.
Mattis, you've basically made the you wouldn't steal a car, so don't pirate a movie argument.
Make a Big Mac.
You wouldn't make a Big Mac
in a double yellow line. Isn't it obvious what I mean?
You wouldn't make a Big Mac in a broken into McDonald's you used to work at 13 years ago.
This analogy started off as, well, you would, what do you can't park there? Well, where else am I supposed to park? This started off as, I don't just break into McDonald's because there's no other way to get a Big Mac, you know? So sometimes the solution to the thing you want to do is illegal and you can't do it. The solution isn't to just do it anyway, which it seems to, because if you did that in a McDonald's, the policeman would arrest you. You wouldn't just go, okay, I guess we just round enforce this rule then. That's fine. I'm sure they just put those double yellow lines there for fun. When you see someone parked on a double yellow line, you really realize, oh, that's why that's there. Because that fucks everything up when they park there.
Yeah.
There's only one way to test your theory, Manus. We need to break into a McDonald's.
We need to break into a McDonald's, yeah. We need to see if it's the same.
My gym is very near a McDonald's at the moment. So it's putting me
in their market.
Homeostatic fatness, where it's like I'll sometimes go to McDonald's because I went to the gym, but I'll sometimes program in a trip to the gym because I quite feel like a McDonald's. So I think it balances out, you know.
Well, Manus, I deliveroo'd a Burger King last week because I felt like I deserved it.
You did deserve it. You deserved that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you deserve the second best thing.
Yeah. Why didn't you feel you deserved
well,
that?
Well, because fucking McDonald's isn't on Deliveroo, are they, Gav?
No, they don't. They're on Uber Eats.
Yeah, so suck my dick.
Well, but by certain logic, you should have just...
Are you too lazy to download the app? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Why didn't you just threaten the delivery driver's family until he brought you a McDonald's? How else were you supposed to get it?
You're right, that doing an illegal thing is never the answer. Manus, where did you see a... Sorry, Gav, you were going to tell us about a terrible park job.
The worst park job I've ever seen. I was driving to Dunleary on Saturday, and as I was driving up a road, it was just a regular old road, with one lane going one way and one lane going the other way. And in front of me, I could see the front of a Mini Cooper, and I was like, oh, okay, that's weird. They were parked, like, facing the wrong side. They were about 2 feet out from the sidewalk, the fucking path. So it looked like when you were far away, as though they were just driving on the wrong side of the road. And then as you got down, you had to veer into the other lane. You had to veer into traffic in order to get around them. It was the worst. It was the worst parking I've ever seen in my life. To the point where I was commenting on it all of the rest of the way to Dunleary. I was just like, I still can't believe that Mini Cooper. Like, how? If they had done anything differently, it would have been better. But, like, they just did the exact wrong thing 10 times in a row.
Gavin, you may have... This is actually not a joke. That may have been me.
Excuse me.
I've parked with Jack. That might have been him.
So, I was helping... I did an equally bad park job in a Mini Cooper over this weekend, where I was helping... girlfriend of mine and friend of the show Stoutmaster move into a new house, and there was no easy way to park. There was no parking near house.
There actually was, but you first.
Yeah, but it was
that
me first.
That was ridiculous. But you
actually,
first.
What I did was I actually drove up on the footpath, not like put two wheels on the footpath. I full on drove up the bit where, you know, that there's like the little bumps on it to let blind people know that there is. I drove up on that and then drove up that footpath, which had, you know, which was, you know, about 30, 40 feet.
Yeah, but you just parked in the middle of the footpath,
full car.
Blind people. That's not the same thing.
Oh, I moved off that eventually and left no room for anyone to walk.
Yeah, you were only going to be there for a minute, Jack. You were probably only going to be there a minute. I actually wish more people would park illegally by way of just parking in the middle of the road, because maybe they might get the message. It's like, that's what you're doing when you're on the footpath if someone can't get by. Except it doesn't affect cars, so you won't be bothered by it. I know a little trick to parking illegally. The thing is to just park there and ignore the rules. You know what I mean?
But it did make
this little top tip.
So that was a short one, but made longer than I meant it to be. I should go on less.
Wait. Another thing. Sorry. The all gas no brakes guy. How much does he look like Jack Barrel?
He looks a lot like Jack Barrel, yeah.
I think he looks more like William Dunn, to be honest.
I remember William Dunn.
He looks like the guy from All Gas No Brakes.
Wait, you guys know someone called Well Dunn?
His name is Well Dunn, and let me tell you, it really was.
I had another segment, if we have time.
We're dying for it. We have plenty of time. Go for it.
It's a two-parter. First part, wise up. Second part, mind your business, right?
So, this is a sequel to a Dizzy Rascal song, I believe.
Fix up, mind your business.
Yeah.
So, wise up. Coronavirus, pandemic, we're level 3 restrictions. The guys who live below me should not be having a house party and setting off the fire alarm on a Saturday night.
Without inviting you,
this fucking guy. This fucking guy.
You know what they need to do? They need to wise the fuck up.
It's coronavirus. I don't feel like victim blaming. I don't think that house parties are like the main problem with coronavirus. I think there's a lot of huge policy mistakes being made by the government. And I know that. And I know that consciously. But when the person below me is having a house party, it is so hard not to get into the kind of fervor of this would all be over if people stopped having house parties.
It's having a big effect on your sleep, and if there's a higher moral authority you can appeal to, you're gonna do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wouldn't have minded except, but you would have minded except. You'd have minded.
If it didn't affect me, I wouldn't have minded. They're not the problem.
I had the exact same experience with a pub underneath me. Was having like lock-ins until 3 o'clock in the morning during like proper lockdown. Not like March level lockdown, but like when pubs weren't supposed to be open at all still a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, these people, fucking, how dare they? And to be honest, if they were singing better songs in the smoking area, I'd have been fine with it.
Yeah, but Jack, where else do you want them to have a lock-in? I mean, what do you expect?
Their homes, ideally near Gavin.
Yeah, if it was near me, at least I'd be annoyed then and not Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Jack, yeah, me first. I agree completely.
The second part, mind your business.
Yeah.
So, having said that, right, coronavirus, we're in a pandemic. Myself and my girlfriend were feeling a little bit unwell during the week. And any single person we told, "How do you feel? Oh, you're not feeling well," immediately jumped to, "Do you have coronavirus?" Despite us having none of the symptoms of the coronavirus. And if we had any of the symptoms, don't you think we would fucking get tested?
Yeah.
So, on the one hand, people are not paying attention to the rules at all. And on the other hand, they are, "Oh, you need to look after yourself. So mind your fucking business."
Yeah. And Gavin, did you get tested?
No, I didn't get tested because I didn't have it. I had a head cold because it's fucking cold season. I had a head cold.
Yeah. Look, I feel for you. I'm an allergy guy. Now, I've been having far less of them recently, probably because I'm not cycling as much. So I'm just not out unrestrictedly breathing in the pollen as much. I basically had very little hay fever this summer for whatever reason. But
yeah,
like people just, they were, you know, it's just like every time I have a sniffle, it's like, come on, I fucking, this always happens, you know, and they won't test you.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Just because we're in the middle of a pandemic doesn't mean that the other things that always happen in September don't also happen.
I mean, I could go, I could force them. I could make up some symptoms and they would test me. But if I just say, hey, I have the sniffles, they're not going to. So
Yeah. That was the point. That was the point I made. And like people were saying it so much that like Joyce happened to be like, oh, wait, should I get a coronavirus test? And I was like, look up the symptoms to coronavirus. Do you have a cough? No. Do you have a fever? No. Do you have shortness of breath? No. Do you have fatigue? No. Like, I think that, like, yeah. The pandemic has led to a lot of problems, but, like, getting up in people's business is one of them. And I think that the government messaging is partly to blame.
Of course it is. Of
okay, Gav, you've mentioned it twice now. You've mentioned it twice that you disagree with government policy. Lay it on the table. Put your fucking tuberty dick on the table and tell us what's wrong.
I can't fully articulate it at this moment.
Because you are irate with rage.
No, I'm not as annoyed as Gavin is. Let me take a run at this, right? We have two countries in phase three, or two counties in phase three at the moment. First of all, we have a five-phase system, all right? And we got to pick what those phases had in them. We got to pick that if we're the government, right? We got to decide. So it wasn't like we and today that they got announced, they said, yeah, well, and also we're basically not in any of those and there are separate rules for all. So there's two counties currently in phase three, another one potentially going in Louth, and all with different rules. So there are three phase three counties, none of which match up with the phase three that the government got to pick.
Is that an example of inconsistency or bespoke solutions to unique problems?
It's fine if it's a bespoke solution, Jack, but let me tell you the problem. They want all of the credit for being clear and here's what things are and here's how they get laid out. Here's the phases you can potentially be in while maintaining the flexibility of, but we'll just decide at the time. Now, but we'll just decide at the time for a given area is a perfectly fine fucking solution, right? That's, to my mind, what they should be doing. The solution for each individual place isn't going to be the same. But because they want to bend to the political idea that, well, we must have clarity. All we want is clarity. But at the same time, we need bespoke solutions for the bespoke area. But that's where the mixed messaging is. What they're saying on one hand is, here's the five potential things you could be in, all of which, by the way, have the schools still open, which kind of fucks my tits a little bit, because, like, in stage five, they're still open? Really? Are we that confident? They're also lying to us. Look, the claim is that the schools
don't
spread. The school, no, the claim is the
it's schools. It's all 5G.
The claim is the schools don't spread it. That's a lie. We know they do. The truth is that it is a priority for one reason or another to keep them open regardless. So we have, and that's fine. You're allowed priority.
That's totally fine.
But that's not what they're telling us.
No,
he didn't say their policy was bollocks. He said their messaging was bollocks. And I think it's been flawed since way before most people figured it was. I think the mask thing was a disgrace. They were telling people actively that masks make it worse. Up until way later, if you look back, than the idea that there's no evidence that in the case of COVID-19 that masks help.
But that's cautious scientific language, which is the nature of scientific language.
That would be true no matter what. There was no evidence of anything apart from, you know.
There was no evidence of COVID-19 until about fucking November.
Yeah, there was no evidence it existed. Yeah. So, like, then the idea that, well, we've been perfectly clear since the start. Well, we're in, I think, our third iteration of their phase idea. We're in the... I think we finally come around to masks actually actively make it worse. Then we went to masks don't help. Then we went to my mask protects you, your mask protects me, but they don't inherently protect you at all. Then it was like, actually, yeah, they kind of sort of do protect you even if you're just wearing it, because of course they do. Of course they protect you a little bit from like stuff coming in when it's on your face. And at a certain point, the loons were always going to be the loons, but there's genuinely people knocking around going, ugh. Oh, I don't know. What do I believe now? Everything gives you cancer, apparently. It's bad messaging. And I thought, I don't know, I thought center-right governments were supposed to be at least good at that stuff.
Yeah, it's not only bad messaging. I think that there's for a time it was right, where like you just did what you told and you didn't criticize the people in power because they were trying their best. And as it goes on, I'm still going to do what I'm told, but I'm going to be critical of the people in power when they're wrong. Fucked up a lot of things that were predictable, such as the nursing homes, which has happened in Europe before it happened to us, such as the meat processing plants, which happened in America before it happened to us. Right. Like, all of these things were predictable because they happened in other countries.
No one sensible is blaming them for being wrong when they were wrong, because it's a novel environment, and who knows. What sensible people are criticizing them for is lying.
And also, not admitting, like lying by not admitting they were wrong in certain instances.
That's probably closer to what's actually happening than
being a key one. But also deflecting into like, like the meat processing plants are causing all sorts of problems, but it's really the house parties. It's this moralizing about the individual behavior is causing this pandemic to go on, when in reality, like, there's policy problems that are causing it to go on much longer.
We have a beshitted health system. Now look, I'm not blaming any one individual on that. That seems to just be really hard to sort out. But hey, I think maybe it's because people aren't reasonable. I don't know. Or maybe it's because people are used to being... They needed to save their lives and they didn't. They blew their untruth load too early and too often. Because there's going to be times when you're going to have to tell us things that aren't true and we're going to have to swallow them.
Yeah.
You know, because there will be an occasion where that's necessary, but it mostly isn't. And they used up a lot of goodwill because most people were like us at the start and just, fuck it, we don't know. We're going to do whatever. Help us, strong daddy government, you know. And I think it burned through a bit of that. And it probably didn't help the makeup of the government in the middle of it. Look, I'm not going to be completely unfair to anyone here.
With the makeup of the government the way it is, there's all sorts of compromises and clashing messages and all sorts of things. So like, there are problems in the structure of our government as it is for dealing with the crisis. What we needed, and Manus, Fionn will love this and you will hate this, is a nice technocratic unelected government to just get us through this. To just tell us like what the science is and just like fucking sort of say, like a year of just like, no, the doctors are in charge.
The Roman Republic had ways to do that, where it's like, we're in this particular type of crisis. Here's what the crisis is. But they did that. Okay, there's a problem with gang violence in the Roman Forum. It's got so bad that we're going to need to put Pompey Magnus in charge for a year, and that's his job. And we don't know how to deal with that, so he's going to deal with it. You know, now granted, the Roman Republic fell about 4 years after that, so I'm not entirely sure. We want to go down that route.
Conceptually, I like it.
Well, we can only learn so many lessons from Rome. Let's be honest. Fuck it. I don't know. I don't want to turn this podcast into like giving out about the government. Although
no.
But we exclusively support.
It's far too late for that.
Some of the fucked up messaging isn't their fault. Some of it is vested interests deliberately confusing the messaging. I think the Vintners have a big fucking check to cash over that. But it's so confusing why they're saying this and now they're saying this. Are they really? Or are you just going through loopholes and then they're calling you out in your little loopholes? How does a 9-year-old meal prevent COVID? It doesn't. But you're claiming to be a restaurant. And what kind of restaurant is filled with rowdy customers at 3
The best damn restaurant in town.
Manus, I'm glad you decided to bring up my new restaurant. Called Rowdy Boys. And we serve nothing but steak and pints.
And they all shat themselves and they were like, we're going to make receipts now to prove the people reading. What? Oh, yeah. And the reason they shat themselves was because they'd been all taking the piss and people have been sitting in there without ordering anything.
I went for in an unnamed tavern near a main street where my office is. I went for what could only be described as a heap of pints with about six people. and our substantial meal was purchased with our first round of drinks of about eight. And it was one substantial meal to share between six. And that substantial meal consisted of one small box of cheese.
Yeah. And not every pub was doing this, but some of them were. And they knew who they were and they knew what they were doing. Now, I suspect some of them, because some of them that I knew to be doing this kind of thing are not the kind of establishment that would have broken the rules to the point that they were going to get in trouble. I suspect that the guards told them, well, you better be careful because at 7 o'clock every evening, we're going to be checking on you. Thus telling them basically, just don't.
No. It was the guards who moved us on eventually. They walked past us several times before and they were like, guys, I think you've had enough. And we were like, you know what? Well, that's pretty fair.
Whatever it is, as it was, it was almost impossible to prove that you'd done anything retrospectively. They had to catch you in the middle of it, and that's really hard to do.
Well, we were outside. We were chatting to the guards. It was very easy to catch us.
Okay, in your particular case, it was very easy to catch you. My point is, if you didn't get caught at the time, there was no danger of it. And then suddenly it was like, oh, we got to keep some sort of record of this, and it could be compared to the list of people we have. Oh, shit, we better make a fuss about this. Mm. So, I don't know. That seemed to be a case of, the messaging isn't that confusing, but you're saying it is because it suits you to say it is. So I don't entirely blame the government for all that. There are plenty of vested fucking interests. We should close the off licenses to stop house parties too. I heard that one. That was good. Enjoyed that. That was a good one from the vintners.
Yeah, the house party rate will go down, but the murder rate...
Yeah, yeah. I love that. It's just so blatant.
and all the drug dealers are like, fucking yeah, man.
We need to close those off licenses, you know.
Totally get it all pure gold now that it's not going into your pocket, fitness.
We talked about it with the nut. I'm not sure he fully gave credence to it. It's like they're gonna get in bed with the fucking abolitionists because it suits them and it's gonna fuck them one of these days.
Yeah, he said, yeah.
Yeah. And there they are. Well, if I can't sell it, nobody should. Alcohol is bad, unless it's me. Of course, me first. Me first, of course.
Unless, of course, me first. In which case, I'm part of Ireland's culture and heritage.
It's a cultural thing, Aaron.
When the supermarkets sell poison, it's wrong.
Hey, guys, do you want to have a couple of pints outside in the next couple of days?
Are we allowed to do that anywhere?
Yeah. We're allowed to do that anywhere that has an outside.
Well, everywhere has an outside, Jack.
Yeah, therein the point, Manus.
We could go to BrewDog, although I hear it's ridiculously expensive.
It's all right, none of us have been able to spend money for 6 months.
It's never mattered less that something's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to do that.
Fuck it, yeah, let's do that.
Nice.
This was important to include on the episode. What do we think of this beer?
If anyone wants to see us last Friday in BrewDog, you'll know where.
This beer is fine. It's grand. I would get it again because I really like the bottle, but I don't know if I particularly love the beer inside. I like it. It's fine. It doesn't taste like a huge amount. But I think for me and for a blonde beer, that's good. Because I don't think I like blonde beers. I hate that estuary banana-y thing, if that's... Yeah. What's involved in a blonde. If it's not, maybe I do like blonde beers. I'm going to give this a 6.5. I think it's fine. Like, whatever.
You know? How much you pay for it, by the way?
3%.
Okay, so it's not even... Okay, it's not bargain bin, but it's not ridiculous either.
Yeah.
No, I would say it's well within the bounds of reasonable. I'd go one step above you, Gav. I actually think that this outperformed okay. I think that I've had... blondes, maybe mostly on draft, which I haven't loved. This I absolutely horsed through, and I've had another half pint of one of their other beers since. What did you give it?
I get a 6.5.
I'd go 7.5.
Total score of 14, seven. Final countdown score of 7. Bing, bang, boom.
Yeah.
Manus, what's the best scan like?
Yeah, this rocks in about 6.5 territory as well. It's very forgettable in a good way. And you're just drinking it, you know, thinking about it, chatting away. It doesn't represent great value. This was close to £4 for the 330 bottle. Yeah. Now that O'Brien's I go to, it has some funky prices sometimes. So I'm not.
Are you going to that?
And again,
O'Brien's.
These are a small brewery. They may use very expensive ingredients. They're not quite at ridiculous territory, but it's, you're thinking about it, you know. You're thinking and going, huh. It's not wanting any sort of deal. I'd still pick it up. Although it's tough when Duval is sitting there for like £3.
And Duval is guaranteed gorgeous. Yeah.
That's money, baby.
It's a beef alcoholic wise, like it's like 8.5. This is only 5.something. Not that that should be everything you ever consider, but it's going to be, I admit, hard to pick. This is why I probably haven't picked these up before, because I've a couple of times gone for these and then just other things distracted me, like a magpie at a tinfoil factory, you know? Mm-hmm. He's always going to go for the tinfoil because they like things that are shiny.
That's it. Yeah.
One for sorrow, two for joy. Give me your tinfoil now, boy. That's what they always say.
That's the tinfoil rhyme.
Aggressive magpies.
Aggressive little magpie bastards.
My name is Margaret Thatcher, and I'm here to say, you got to give me beer in a different way.
They used to love your milk, too. Remember they get the glass bottles of milk with the foil tops?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't get it, well, we had a porch, so we were all good, but the neighbors frequently got absolutely magpied at the top of their milk.
The early bird gets the worm and the cream in the milk.
You're dead right.
So what are you giving a Manus out of 10?
6.5. It's not. I don't. There's only me, so it can't really be an official final countdown score. Although, which is very important.
But it's just put a number on it.
Whether it's official or not, I mean, that will bother people. Whether it's official, I know there's people who are waiting for us to fill out our application form in full. They were saying, "Whoa, it's a 6.5." But I mean, is that official or can I get a quote?
I'll wait for the official score. Thank you very much.
Sorry, are you an epidemiologist? I didn't think so. I'll be waiting until I hear from an epidemiologist. I just said I was hating being locked in the house. Yeah, you did, but you're not an epidemiologist. You ever get one of those arguments? It's like, I wasn't proposing policy. I'm just expressing frustration. Oh, are you a PhD in virology? Because if you're not,
you're not allowed to have opinions at the moment.
Do you think there'll be a big upswing in people getting PhDs in virology?
Yeah.
And do you think they'll be really disappointed for about the next 20 years until the next one of these comes along?
Well, they'll just get it from the same place that Ian Paisley got his doctorate from. God.
He got his from God?
He got it from God, yeah. God gave it to him.
No, if anything, that's more of a PhD than any of the other ones.
Yeah, pretty holy dude. That's what you're
saying. Pretty holy diploma.
I'm a pretty holy dude. Right, that's enough of this nonsense. We've veered into Gemma O'Doherty territory by giving out a bit.
We have a little bit. Now, I just want to say COVID-19 is real. Everyone should listen to science, but just stop moralizing, guys. Just like do your bit and stop feeling so superior. Bingo bango. Yeah.
Because you ain't.
Gavin, if you 30 minutes ago could take that advice, that'd be great.
Oh, Jack Toner calling out hypocrisy.
You know you get pied when it's from me.
Yeah, that is a big pie. Also, this must be stronger. I actually went to pie myself and actually hit myself in the nose.
Oh, you gave yourself a good slap on the schnoz. Yeah. The Final Countdown is brought to you by Gavin Carberry, Jack Toner, James Belfast, and @Manus Cronin. Follow us on Twitter @FailCountdown. FailCountdown. And email us at finalcountdown@gmail.com.